we could open up with like us contemplating a formal intro. we could open up with us saying like we feel obligated, we need to do a formal intro. Hello world.
Hello. Oh, this is DeMar. This is DeMar at the tower with Crystal Kranitz. And we're finally talking about the playoffs, man. Embrace the playoffs.
Playoffs? I mean, we're supposed to be excited for the playoffs, right? That's the thing.
But yeah.
I think Raptors fans are a little more calm, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a little bit unbelievable, considering the history of the Raptors.
Well, we're not the new kids on the block anymore. We won our first 7-game series last year, then we won another one, kind of beating our chest a little bit. You know, we took LeBron to 6 games. He gave us a nice heartfelt speech. We feel important now. We feel like we matter in the NBA, so which we kind of do. But still, teams are still calling the Raptors soft this year, still disrespecting them. Lance Stephenson is still doing Lance Stephenson things. I'll leave it to that. I don't know what the hell that was, but I get it. I get why they're a little relaxed, but do you feel like they should be with the Bucks?
With the Bucks, ah, man. What a series. I think this is going to be a really good series to watch. To feel relaxed, I feel like that's a mistake, to feel relaxed. Sleep is the cousin of death, dude.
Yes.
I don't think
one of the greatest albums of all time right there.
I don't know if you want to sleep on the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo is nothing to mess around with. There's a lot of good players.
He's kind of what? I don't want to say all they have, because they have some nice pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he's their main guy to get everything done. If he doesn't go, this team can't win, plain and simple. He literally makes them go.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy is the future of the NBA. So,
hold on. Before we break down the Bucks and Raptors, I hope everybody bet the Raptors at plus 1,000 to win the East.
Plus 1,000.
You're not going to get better odds than that.
Plus 1,000.
$100 pays out 1,000. If it does, I mean, maybe for drinks after, because I'll hit that, so I'll meet you guys somewhere. I'm not going to buy everybody a drink, but I'll buy a few people a drink, you know?
Right.
So bet that down. Don't be scared. Back your local
Raptors
team.
Is that just a bet for them to win the series, or is that in, like, a certain amount of games?
No, they got to win the whole East. So they got
the whole East.
They got to win the East.
I don't know, man. I think I'm willing to join you on that. I don't know if it's going to be $100 though.
Just give me one reason why the Raptors can't win the East. Not name LeBron James.
I mean, that's it though. That's the answer. How do you feel?
Yeah, that's it, right? And this year, LeBron's team is not the best one he's had. So they're vulnerable. So there's ever a chance to gamble on it, and yeah, you are taking a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
It's this year.
Mm. I wonder what Haralabov is thinking about for that.
Sorry. I'll fire him a tweet. I'll see if I get a response, you know?
I would be surprised if he wasn't thinking about that.
I bet you I can tell you exactly what he'll say. He's good, like, value. That's his favorite thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a betting dude, I mean, it's like unbeatable type of odds for a team that is probably as close as the Cavs that you can get without it being, like, outright, like, knowledgeable that they're better than the Cavs.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want, if you don't believe in the Raptors, you can hedge down to and take the Wizards a plus 900. Take both of them, see what happens. We will get into an Eastern Conference podcast preview, though. That'll be something we're doing right after this one. Right now, we're just going to focus strictly on Bucks-Raptors, so let's get right back into that. Aside from Antetokounmpo, what are you most worried about with the Bucks?
Most worried about? That's
I mean, you could say nothing.
I got so on that list. I got a Antetokounmpo, and that's pretty much it. I mean, there's nothing really that scares me. Nothing I really have to worry about. Brogdon is nice. I like Brogdon, man. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And
it's been fun this year.
Yeah, there's nothing super scary. There's some defensive things that I'm worried about, but not a specific player.
See, that's what I was going to say, too. They're, like, ultra-aggressive strategy on defense. I mean, man, they try and force turnovers. They put a lot of pressure on you. They put you in uncomfortable situations. And with all the length they have, they're able to really, really emphasize that, right? Like, they just hawk turnovers. They kind of remind me of, like, a safety that's always trying to jump the route and just get interceptions. Mm-hmm. Like, they're able to do a lot of that really well. So I think that's something that could affect the Raptors. But, I mean, hey, Kyle Lowry's back, so the decision-making is definitely going to improve at point guard. Although it wasn't too bad to begin. But that would be one thing, I guess, that kind of worries me.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to, like, start trapping those pick and rolls. Because that's the thing to do against the Raptors in the playoff series, if you're going to play them, is to trap those pick and rolls, the ball handler. I feel like that could be a big issue for somebody that is 6 foot tall against somebody else that is like 6 foot three, plus a center that's 6'11" start to get passes through.
Well, here's the thing that I realized with the Bucks, though. I went back and watched some of their games. When they roll, their pick and roll defense is kind of suspect at times. Like, instead of actually moving their feet and playing defense, they foul. I think that's something that they could definitely get in trouble with against the Raptors.
Yeah, that's a mark of a young team, though. You're not, like, the scheme is good, but executing the scheme is obviously pretty hard, especially at NBA speed. So, again, not super worried, but, you know, there are some issues, probable issues.
Well, I think with their length, too, they don't have a lot of size. Mm-hmm. So, JV could, I mean, we say Giannis is going to go nuts this series, but JV could also go nuts. Like, they have nothing to combat him. I think everything the Bucks can throw at the Raptors truthfully have a counterpunch.
Yeah, this is going to be a perfect series for Jonas. This is going to be where all the Jonas truthers come out and be like, I told you so. This guy was amazing. Okay, 15-15. How are we possibly trading this guy?
Biz who?
Yeah, exactly. Who's Bismack? Ibaka. We have Ibaka. But yeah, this is going to be a huge, like, I can really see this being a huge JV series. It's because they have nothing. I mean, are they going to play Thonmaker against them? I can't even think of.
I mean, they've been starting Thonmaker, but how could they against JV? Like, they have to start Monroe, right?
Yeah, but if you start Monroe, then, you know, their ability to defend becomes an issue. So.
Well, yeah. Is Thonmaker really going
to defend? I mean, but at least, you know, he's spry in some sense, you know?
I know. I think the whole Thonmaker return home is kind of an interesting narrative, too, because this is a guy that went from playing it all the way, like, from Sudan to Australia to the U.S. to Canada. Mm-hmm. And most notably at Orangeville Prep. He burst on the prep scene, the AAU scene, and then we saw him go from high schooler to NBA. He was one of the first guys to do that in a long, long time. He got clearance to the NBA. And let's not forget the whole age scandal. That was all in there. The Reddit community,
The age scandal.
Private investigators were going crazy on Reddit.
Remember when LeBron was in free agency and then people were like tracking the plane on Reddit?
Yeah,
that was awesome, man. No, never underestimate the super sleuths in Reddit.
Well, now Thonmaker is back home, right? It's kind of came full circle for him. It's just funny how it's all come back to Toronto for him. Oh, yeah. What was better though? I mean, talking about the Reddit, I guess gates, the Reddit scandals.
Mm-hmm.
Them tracking DeAndre Jordan at the house and all that, like, that was awesome. LeBron tracking the plane or Thonmaker's age? What was the best investigation for you? For me, it was Thon's age.
No, man, it was DeAndre's, that entire just debacle that was DeAndre's free agency signing. You know, where he's...
I was crying at that.
Where he
had, emojis?
Yeah, he had, like, signed... He didn't sign, but it was like a verbal agreement with Dallas, and then he backed out, and then they were trying to figure out where he was, and then they heard that they were like at his house, and it was like 12 o'clock, and then you could see him signing and everybody around him watching him sign the contract.
Everybody's joking, saying like, Chris Paul, lodge a chair in the door, Blake Griffin's manning the front.
Yeah, and they were like playing video games inside the house, and then somebody was tweeting about like Mark Cuban is driving around trying to find DeAndre.
And Chandler Parsons, hey, we're best friends.
Yeah, oh man. Oh.
Oh, how things have changed since then.
I know.
So for the Raptors, what do you think is their biggest strength entering this series?
It's JV, man. For JV and then the flexibility of the team. No. PJ Tucker is going to be the biggest strength for this team, because he's going to put the clamps, get the clamps, man. Remember, you know, from Futurama clamps?
Oh, yeah.
Regain the clamps out for Giannis Antetokounmpo, because basically Giannis isn't necessarily like super fast, right? He's really, you know, he's exceptional at using his length. He's not going to be strong. He's not going to be backing down PJ. I'm going to see, trust me, man. This is Giannis' first time ever playing in the playoffs, but this will probably be his lowest like point count or efficiency in his career.
Hold on, let's not forget, this is PJ Tucker's first time in the playoffs too. We have never seen playoff PJ.
I know.
This is going to be the angriest, most focused, in your face, Debo looking PJ Tucker we've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly, man. He's a veteran, and for a veteran,
a massive chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, and plus a veteran defensive player is like, yeah, now just put him in the playoffs, and he's probably going to become Tony Allen circa 2014.
Were you reading my notes?
No.
Because that was literally my call for him. I was like, we're about to get Tony Allen for the Raptors.
Yeah, man, he's going to be amazing. And plus, he can, I'm not going to say he can, like, you know, he's super going to be a super sniper from the corners or anything like that, but he can't shoot. Tony Allen could not shoot, period. Like, at all. Right? PJ Tucker can at least shoot a little bit.
What do you think about Chris Middleton? The Bucks were 17-16 with him in the starting lineup. They outscored opponents by 5.7 points per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. And when he's on the bench, they're getting outscored by 7.3 points per 100 possessions. Pretty gaudy numbers right there.
Yeah, I know. I like his game. I like the shooting that he provides. But, you know, like, he's only, him and Brogdon are pretty much, like, the only people. Actually, there's a, now I'm thinking about it, like, really thoroughly. Like, the team has been able to shoot other than Giannis and, like, Greg Monroe. Like, Brogdon's a 40% three-point shooter. Dellavedova is a shooter. They have Teletovic. Like, they have a bunch of people that can shoot the ball now. So, with Chris...
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee's plus 87 with Brogdon on the floor.
Right.
And they're plus 90 with Chris Middleton on the floor since he returned. Like, it just builds to everything you're saying.
Yeah, man, they look... It's a great team. I mean, it's a good, good team. Plays solid D. And the offense can be better. You know, I'm more concerned with Jason Kidd than anything else, to be honest.
Why are you concerned about him?
I just don't think he's a particularly good coach. He is usually... He's one of those coaches that, like, if it's working, then we're using it, right? And that can vary from game to game, and he doesn't have any sort of consistency with any of his lineups. So you can say in the playoffs, you know, that's smart because you have to make a lot of adjustments, but that's a bad thing because... It seems like he's not confident in, like, the things that he does. Like, he's willing to, like, if something works for a quarter, he's using that for the rest of the game, right? Instead of, like, sticking to the plan that he had assigned before the game.
Oh, yeah, like, what you're saying is basically when he rolls Dele and Tony Snell together on the floor. I mean, it's great for the Raptors, but it's a head-scratcher if you're watching as a Bucks fan.
Yeah, exactly, or there's just, like, times where they're, like, playing, like, three guards or something like that. It gets weird. And they don't necessarily have the best three-guard rotation.
No, I was going to say, I find the rotation interesting, and I find how the Bucks are the best team defending point guards this year, and they're also one of the worst free-throw shooting teams in the league. I mean, does that not sound like Jason Kidd?
Yeah, man, he's embodying their coach. Go ahead.
No, I found that really interesting.
I can't really think of any other coach that really has a team that embodies their play style so much, their previous play style so much.
Yeah, I don't know. That's actually a tough question too, especially like a guy that's a player and is now a coach. Like, you can't say Tyronn. I mean, maybe you could say Tyronn Lue because, you know, he was kind of just a reserve second fiddle guy at best to like Kobe and Shaq, and now he's got the same role to LeBron.
Oh.
If you want to go that route.
Oh, man. Wow.
Hey, I'm not even taking a shot, but we know that LeBron... Look, that's his team.
Oh.
All right, we'll go down that road. I promise. We're doing an East podcast after. East and West. We'll get to that.
Ty Lue, if you're listening to this, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be... What I'm going to be looking for is that Giannis at the center lineup that they like to run. They don't like... I want to say they like to run, but it is run. You know what I mean? Where it's him, Greg Monroe, Chris Middleton, Brogdon. Sometimes Tony Snell. I'm interested in that lineup because it's going to be something that... It's going to be something that tests the Raptors' flexibility very early on in the playoffs.
See, I was going to get your opinion on how you match up with the Bucks, but then I'm looking at the rotation and all the different lineups they deploy, and I'm like... it's kind of hard to answer this question because they deploy so many different lineups. But I guess based on this five you just named, if you're the Raptors, how do you counter that? Who do you play?
Who do you play? I want to hear what you're thinking.
I mean, I'd probably go small as well. I'd probably go something like Lowry, DeRozan, Tucker, Patterson, Ibaka. Just because I'm going to match the flexibility and I'm going to outshoot them.
Okay.
And I feel like DeRozan versus Tony Snell is a matchup I want all day. I know Tony Snell's a good defender, but man, DeRozan has seen, like he said before at practice the other day, he's seen every which way teams can defend him. So unless some team decides to throw all five guys at him, he's good. And I firmly agree with him on that, because we've seen time and time again this year, if you're going to play him one-on-one, and we know Jason Kidd loves to play man-to-man, he's going to kill you. So I love that matchup.
Me too. Okay, so let's say the starting lineup's like at the beginning of the game. It's going to be, what, JV, Ibaka. Do you think they're playing PJ Tucker or Damari Carroll at the three to start the game?
Seeing what we've seen with KC time and time again, Damari Carroll's starting.
Okay, and then DeMar DeRozan and then Lowry, of course. Yep. So you're playing mostly, you're going to play Brogdon and then Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton defending DeMar DeRozan is going to be very interesting to watch. So they're basically the same height, and Chris Middleton has some...
Middleton's got length.
He's got some long arms, man. So it's going to be interesting because DeMar DeRozan loves to pump fake, and we saw last year when Paul George was guarding him. If you're a long defender, you can kind of just like not jump ever and contest DeMar DeRozan. So I'm going to be interested in how he's able to navigate this the same maze that he went through last year.
Are you kind of saying he's not going to be as big of a factor as I'm expecting?
What are you expecting?
I'm expecting DeMar to have a pretty big series, just because Lowry's back, yes. We don't know how healthy he is. He says he's healthy, of course. Like, Lowry's going to play through anything, right? But I just don't think he's going to be that prolific scorer this series that we're accustomed to seeing, because I honestly think the Bucks are going to throw a lot at him to try and shut Lowry down first. That's just Jason Kidd's mentality, and that's going to funnel a lot of things to DeRozan's way.
Okay. Well, we'll see, because that's like one thing. He's young, right? And I don't really foresee him being like a locked, like he's not a lockdown defender right now, but he probably will be in his future. The jitters, you got to get the jitters out in the first game of the playoffs. So he might
5:30, man. Yeah. We're done with those 12:30 starts.
5:30, here we are, man. We're making it.
We're big time now.
We're not even big time. We're huge. Okay, we're huge.
We're a whole country. Thank you.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that, man. That matchup is very, very, very interesting to me. And on the flip side, it's like DeMar DeRozan guarding Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton is a sniper from three, man. So if he loses Chris Middleton, you know, like two or three times a game, like that's 9-6 which points. Yeah, that's going to be like 9 free points, freebies. Sorry, what?
Oh, I said he will. Oh, he's okay. Definitely going to lose them 3-6 times. I mean, 2-3 times a game. You know that about DeRozan.
Right, so that's like 9 points, man. That's a big deal. Especially for a team that, I wouldn't say they struggle to defend. The Raptors don't struggle to defend anything, but like, if you have a leaky faucet, you're trying to... Sorry, that is a wrong analogy. actually, no, that's the right analogy. It's like, it's a leaky faucet, man. You're trying to fix, you're trying to make sure you figure out what the problem is, and then you're trying to like seal the holes. You know, DeMar DeRozan, he's got to figure it out, man. You got to pay attention. This is the playoffs.
I hate to break it to you, man, but that faucet's going to drip no matter what.
Help!
You're going to have to retape it once a month. Like, it's just either you're buying a new faucet or you're going to live with this one. So,
well, he has been putting in like more defensive effort ever since PJ Tucker's joined the team, right? People have been
ability from PJ, man.
And then people have been clowning DeRozan about his defense for a while now. Could feel a little bit of, remember when James Harden was getting, you know, destroyed on Vine, and then that one year he came back and like became like a, you know, average defender. I can see that happening.
I mean, that's superstar level defending for him. Dude. Other times he looks like a pylon in a drill.
Right. And so
like, okay, all right, James. Yeah, sure. I mean, you put up 38-8 a night, so yeah, you can get away with that.
Right. So DeMar DeRozan can just like not get lost off ball. Because he's not, like, terrible on ball, but if you can just, like, not get distracted, don't ball watch off ball, then this should be, like, a pretty handy defeat, actually.
Well, yeah, I think when we get to our prediction part here, we're both going to agree that the Raptors should win this rather clean. I mean, most, like, if you want to go to most projection sites or analytical sites, It's Raptors like five, are damn near close to 90% on almost every site.
90%? Yeah, I mean,
like 530 has 87.
What is the scenario in which they lose? Like honestly.
Honestly, they're shooting. We see Lowry and DeRozan from the playoffs of last year shoot so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
That would have to happen for sure. Turnovers galore. We're talking like 15 plus a night minimum. The okay. Bucks get really hot from three. Like, just snipers. I'm trying to think what else. Like,
I don't think
like
that much. I don't think that much needs to happen. Like, if DeMar DeRozan, like if Lowry and DeRozan just go ice cold, then what?
Like, it's gonna. The Raptors are deeper this year.
That's true. They are. That's true. The shooting. The shooting
is enough. Could pick up the pieces, dude.
Oh, the bench mob is gonna be good this year. Yeah, the bench should be good this year. That what would be like the beginning of the second quarter where it's like mostly it's like Lowry plus the bench. That squad, the Jurassic Five that I call it, just murders teams, and the bench is going to be better because he's going to be playing with Patrick Patterson the entire time off that bench now.
We know how the results of that are.
He's going to be fresh Patrick Patterson. That's one of my favorite things about this Raptors team actually is like the entire team is healthy this year.
First time in a long time.
Yeah.
Super long time. And I think what you're saying with the Raptors, the Jurassic Five, as you like to call them,
mm-hmm.
that's really going to be a difference from this postseason is how teams adjust to that. A lot of teams try and hide their guys, you know, rest guys here and there down that little end of the first, early second quarter, that little stretch there, right? Like, that's where you try and get your guys rest. But with the Raptors, they're so deep where they're bringing in guys that could start for a lot of other teams, and they're keeping Lowry out there, or they'll keep DeRozan out there. They'll do one or the other. And, man, like, it's a load to handle. I really feel like that's going to be a huge advantage for them where they can hammer teams down. And if they're trailing, they can cut the lead in half. Sorry, cut the deficit in half. If they're up, they can build their lead even more. I just feel like mm-hmm. that's such a key for them.
Right. So in that Jurassic, who's playing in that Jurassic 5? Because like, there's actually going to be a lot of bench pieces that are involved now.
Well, I think here's a better question. Who can we take out of it? Because I think what we saw down the stretch is we saw Norman Powell's out of it, fair to say.
I don't know. He's been out of the rotation recently, but there's use for him in the playoffs. I can see use for him in the playoffs. There's use for him in this series for sure. You want to throw somebody?
So what's the rotation then this series?
Okay, so
who's coming off the bench?
It'd be PJ Tucker. I'm writing this down as we speak, actually. So it'd be PJ Tucker, and then you have Corey Joseph. Sorry, I'm not talking to the mic. Corey Joseph, right? And then it would also be Lowry. So those are your guards plus a small forward. And then you have Patrick Patterson. And then you can... Basically, you can shift Ibaka to the 5 if you want, which wouldn't make it the Jurassic 5, but it basically is a Jurassic 5. You can also... right, you can have Ibaka at the 5. Or they've even been experimenting with that Patrick Patterson at the 5 lineup, which is real yep. good.
I love that lineup personally,
and that's gonna be a really good lineup to use in this series because it, you know, Greg Monroe is gonna be a low post dude, but he's not destroying you in the post. You know what I mean?
If Greg Monroe is giving you problems, the Raptors will not be trailing. Like that, they'll be okay. Trust me.
If Greg Monroe is giving them problems, then that's probably the scenario in which the Raptors lose.
Yeah, like, if Greg Monroe is going ham, then like.
Right, it's just like there's nothing you can do.
Test him after the game or something.
He's going like 30-15, like you know. There's only. What if he's secretly
Drummond reincarnated?
What if he's secretly Shaq?
Then I'm secretly Steve Kerr. I'm gonna be a coach in the NBA one day.
But yeah, so it's gonna be that Patrick Patterson at the 5 lineup is pretty nice because then sometimes they like to play. They will play PJ Tucker at the 4, even though he's short for the 4, but he's stout, right? And it gives him a lot of flexibility on switches and all that junk. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It's a good bench squad this year. Very, very good bench squad.
Well, I think like we said earlier, the Bucks roster construction is set up very well for the Raptors to defend and attack.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, I'm happy. Are you happy about this? That the Raptors are like... Remember last year, people were actually picking the Pacers over the Raptors, and like, oh, this is totally ready for an upset. I'm just like, this year, it just feels like Toronto should be able to roll these guys.
There was only one team I didn't want the Raptors to play in round one, and that was the Heat. Outside of them, though? Okay, hold on. Because you mentioned the Pacers just there. If they played the Pacers right now, considering how hot the Pacers are entering the playoffs, would people be worried?
Yes, absolutely, because they're going to have those Paul George flashbacks. In the series where, if we're honestly, if just Frank Vogel puts Paul George back in the game, they probably win that series.
Would we lose to the Pacers this year if we played them in the first round?
I don't think they would lose, but people would be nervous. People are not nervous about the Bucks, okay? But they would be nervous. He's going to have all those flashbacks, man. DeMar DeRozan getting locked up by Paul George. Kyle Lowry can't shoot. And then, somebody do something. I mean, they have Serge Ibaka this year, right? And the team, obviously, is better. But people would be, sweating bullets, man.
I think Toronto sports fans get nervous about just about everything, though, to be honest.
Yeah, what makes you more nervous than seeing the same movie twice?
Well, was the movie bad or is it good?
I mean, it was marginally good, barely.
I'm watching it again, then. It might be on in the background, background noise. That's about it.
Yeah, man, it was barely good. Barely good. But yeah, man, it's gonna be a fun game, fun series.
Give me your prediction for this series.
I have writing it down right now as we speak. I think I'm gonna have Raptors winning this in carry the 2-5 games.
Really, 5, eh?
Yeah. Like a very solid, very, very solid performance by them.
What's very solid? Define very solid for me.
I mean, 5 games is like they only lose one. And they're probably going to lose. I don't think they're going to lose the first game. Actually, they might lose the first game. If the Bucks really come out to punch them in the mouth, which Giannis would probably try to do. But if they can contain them in that first game, then it's definitely a 5-game series and probably lose a game in Milwaukee or something like that.
Okay. I see where you're going here. Here's my issue. The Raptors have never won a game one.
Mm-hmm.
So am I going to chalk that
up to
the loss?
Yeah, but does it feel like that team anymore?
No, not at all.
Right?
That's what I was going to say. I don't feel like that's going to be a loss. But I feel like we're going to have that, for whatever reason, every series Raptors play, there's that one game where they just get blown the hell out. And you're like,
what happened?
Yeah, were you guys not awake? What happened? So I'll chalk one of those games up. So we're at one loss. I'll throw in one Giannis goes nuts game, and I'll take the Raptors in 6.
Okay, 6 games. All right, it was between 5 and 6 for me, and I guess I have more confidence in the Raptors than you do. Ooh.
Oh, I got a lot of confidence. I mean, I got so much confidence, I'm betting them to win the East.
Right.
I just feel like once they get past the first round, they'll be a lot more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable in time to play the Cavs.
Oh, man. Do you think it would be better? I guess this would still be part of the Raptors side, but I'm actually happy that they're playing the Cavs earlier.
Me too.
I feel like, I don't know if I'm in a majority or minority in that opinion. It feels like I'm in a minority. I think that it would be much better to play the Cavs earlier.
The Cavs give me a reason why, then I'll give you mine.
I don't know what's going on with the Cavs, and I don't think they know what's going on with them right now. Right? And the less time that the less time that they get to figure it out, what's happening, is better for the Raptors. And that's why I just play them as soon as possible and get these dudes out of the way.
So I'm glad we share the same reasoning, because mine was literally, I don't believe that they can just flip a switch out of nowhere like some people like to think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they do flip a switch in round one, we're going to be like, yeah, but look who they're playing and, I'm not buying it. That's really what everybody's going to say, right? So then comes round two. Are they going to find a switch in round two that we haven't seen yet? I don't know. I just feel like that's a good time for the Raptors, where let's say they played the Wizards in round two. And they go through a hard 7-game series, but they win.
Mm-hmm.
Their confidence is back. The Cavs are quote-unquote back. And then they play the Raptors. So I feel like the Raptors are better equipped to play them in round two while they haven't really refound themselves.
Yeah.
Same reasoning.
I like that, too. I'm excited, man. This is the first time I've really been excited for the playoffs for the Raptors. Really, really, really excited. Last year, I predicted that they would make the Eastern Conference Finals. People thought it was crazy. Okay. And I think they're going to make the finals this year. People also think I'm crazy.
I think I'm crazy, too. I was on the same boat last year and this year.
Right? So I think we're doing something right, you know? Crazy, genius looks crazy to people that don't understand it.
Hey, I always say this. Just because being contrarian is unconventional, that doesn't make it unethical. So, right. We're not crazy.
Yeah, we're carrying all these. We're carrying all these things to the bank. Okay.
Okay, we can start buzzwords again. Here's the thing. If you're a Raptors fan right now, name me a year where you felt more confident this team could go all the way than this one.
There is none.
Right?
Maybe that Vince Carter team?
It's never been softer. Yeah, maybe.
But this is better than the Vince Carter team.
Way better.
Right, so
Daniel Marshall, I love you, buddy. I love watching that guy hit corner triples, man.
Oh, man. Corner triples. That was like, man, what a time. We've come so far from that series.
Right? Alvin Williams doing work on Eric Snow. Like, dude, Aaron McKee on the Sixers. Todd McCullough. Like, I can't believe they went to the finals with that team, first of all.
Yeah, I know. They had Dikembe and Allen Iverson.
Wow. And that got you to the finals?
Yeah, if you have Allen Iverson, I mean, that was not a good Eastern Conference, really.
No, that was Jay Kidd's East.
Yeah, it was them. That was when Ray Allen was still on the Sonics or the Bucks. Oh man, I'm
pretty sure it's still the Bucks. Him and Glenn Robinson.
I'm showing people how young I am. All right.
No, wrap it up. All right, guys, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Toronto Raptors Podcast. As always, you can follow the show on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow DeMar on Twitter at DeMar J. Grant. Enjoy game one, guys. Don't be too nervous. You know, everything says the Raptors should win this series. So
First ever game one win. It's coming up.
All right, you heard it here first. I'll agree with that too. First ever game one win tomorrow, Saturday. We'll be back to do Eastern Conference and Western Conference podcast right after this, and then we'll have a post game one as well. So we'll be seeing you guys a lot. Until then, take care.
Later.